And Proverbs 10 and 12 answers this question, or it answers that statement. It says, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrong. Love covers all offenses. So half of y'all have offended me already this morning. Made smart remarks, but I have to forgive, and that was another thing I'm going to be talking about. But God will not grow a church if love is absent, or if unforgiveness is absent. He will not bless the church. He will not grow a church. So that's what I want to talk a little bit about. God will not allow newborn Christians to be born in this church if we can't take care of them. And sometimes when you think about it, every one of you have a seat. When I was thinking about it last night, I thought about Philip Evans. He sits on the seventh row on the inside every service. Do you not? Am I correct? Is it seven? And right about two or three down is Beth and Larry. They're always here first, and the reason I'm telling you that. And right on the other side of them are Kim and Lance. Now, if you get Kim or Beth's seat, I'm surprised they haven't got them roped off in little areas to have their names on them. But everybody has a seat in here. You know, Bobby and Faye sit right here. Brent, Pat. I know where y'all sit, Dolores. I know where y'all are. And that's one good thing about that. It's like, I know when you're out. I know right here. But when it gets way back there, kind of gets a little blurred. But anyway, how many times have you walked in this door and sit down and never spoke to a person? How many of you do that? We got one honest person, but he does talk to people. But the truth of it is we have people that come in this service every Sunday that need somebody to talk to them. I've been there, and I'm gonna give you just a little bit of this, and I've said it before, but some of you need to hear this, because this is not what I was going to be talking about. But when Terry and I left our church and we started to evangelize some, I just hated it. I hated going because every church was so different, and some people were just rude. They never shook your hand. They were very ugly. And I had a bad attitude anyway because I didn't want to leave where we had been at for 10 years. I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay. But Terry knew he had a birth. God birthed a vision for this church. I couldn't see it. I had my heels in, but I went with him. But I didn't want to go. And when I got to church one Sunday, I sat down and I didn't shake hands with anybody. Well, you know me, I'm a talker. I'm going to talk anywhere I'm at. I'm going to talk to people. But one reason I'm like that was that Sunday, not one person spoke to me. I sit about where Chuck and Wendy are sitting in a service. It's a small church, too. And I was crying and pouting before the Lord about it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, how many hands did you shake? And I said, oh, Lord. I learned a lesson that day. And from that day on, if I worked at the hospital, I worked hospital for 7 years on the psychiatric ward of all places. My son-in-law said, don't lose your name tag. But I learned every custodian's name. I talked to every doctor. I talked to nurses. Because I knew what it felt like. Sometimes when you go through things in your life, it's orchestrated from God because we've learned what other people feel like. If you've never gone through a loss of someone you love dearly and deeply, if you've never gone through that, you can't say, look at somebody and say, I've been there. I know how you feel. We can't do that. So remember that when you come in this church, everybody has their seat. Which I have mine. Now, mine's a third one right there by Karen. That's where I sit. Unless those kids take over, then I have to move. But if you threw me over here on this side, it would be the most awkward thing to me. But there's going to be people that come through that door. And just because they come through that door, that don't mean they're saved. But as a body, we are to love people regardless of how they smell, how they look. We are to love people. And that's what God has shown me through my life, through our lives. Everybody's not saved. And so if they come in this church and they don't feel welcome or they don't feel like that they're supposed to be here, that's our fault. That's my fault. That's your fault. So instead of just sitting down on your in your seat on Sunday morning, make sure you go over. I grant you, y'all might go, hey, hey, to the other side. You know, you might wave at them. But sometimes that person, you don't never know, it could be the lowest part of their life that they're going through a struggle. They might have gone through hell that week. And when they get here, somebody just saying, hey, I missed you last week, or I love you, man. I appreciate you. That goes a long way in ministry. We are in ministry, aren't we? So this is one of the most loving, accepting people I've ever seen in my life. And we've pastored a church for 36, 37, might have been 38 years. I don't know, a long time. But I've never seen a group, a strong core group like this church that loves you regardless. They love you. Everybody is not as forgiven. Some people are forgiven more than others. And I'm going to tell you this story. The reason that I forgive so quick is because I need forgiven, for one. If I ask you, how many times is anybody in here that I've hurt your feelings? Well, besides Chuck and Wendy, that don't matter. Terry, put your hand down. James, shut up. The thing with that is we all need forgiven. I don't care who you are. We need to forgive. But we had a lady at our church that was so mean. We had two families that we had to literally have the law to come where we could have church. Literally have the law to come and sit where we could have church because they were causing so much confusion. It was a lot over jealousy and wanting to control. Terry can't hardly control me. They sure ain't going to. So anyway, but all through that, I realized that I had to be a Christian even though I didn't want to. I would grit my teeth because I've seen pastors sit down and put his hands in his face and cry. And I wanted to stomp her in the ground if you want to get right down to it. How many of you have ever been there? Well, I couldn't do it because they'd put me in jail and that'd look bad on the church. So I didn't. But I tell you what I did do. Every time I would meet this lady on the road, every time I met her, God would say, or them, that family, wave. Y'all, the first time I had to wave at them, I went, oh, you know you don't want to. Everywhere I went, I saw those people. And you know what they'd do when I'd wave? They'd go. They'd look down. They'd look like it made them so mad. And I'd be like, God. But it would be a voice, wave at them, speak to them. Y'all, for 2 years, 2 years, I waved at them. And it got where I was going, hey. I was just like, why, Lord? I just don't know. I would do that. If I was in Walmart, she'd come up to me. She'd jerk it back and she'd go the other way. And I'd be like, oh, my gosh. Well, one day I was not in the best mood. I was tired, and here she came. I thought, Lord, help me. I thought, now, Lord, I'm about done with this, and I'm aggravated about this. So 2 years of waving at that woman, I thought, I've about had enough of it. She walks up to me, and she looks me square in the face, and I thought, I'm gonna deck you right here. You know what she said? I'm sorry. I said, what? She said, I'm sorry. She said, for 2 years, you have waved at me. I didn't even know at the time it had been that long. She said, you've waved at me every time you saw me, and you smiled. I thought, yeah, that wasn't really a smile. But I did. For 2 years, I waved at that lady. 2 years in that family. Every one of them was rude to me. Every one of them. But she said, you waved at me, and you were a Christian. And God showed me the biggest lesson that I've ever learned, to forgive. There's several in here that hold grudges. And I used to be one of them. Not a whole lot, because I tell you what I thought. That's the thing, is you got to be honest. But anyway, I held a grudge. at one time in my life. But God showed me, and see, when we go through things sometimes, God's teaching us a lesson. It doesn't matter what you do or what you say. It matters what I do and what I say. But God is birthing a church here, y'all, that if you think about it, if everybody came in here with a mindset of, I'm going to worship God, regardless of what somebody's done to me, regardless of how bad my week is, regardless of how rude they were to me. You know, you just think about it. How many souls would see saved? But it's everywhere. Unforgiveness, it's in families, it's at work. You've got, and that kind of stuff brings conflict in our souls. But this is a loving, accepting church, but the Bible says above all to love deeply, because love covers the multitude of sins. And you know, I was at the lake this week, and this is when my lesson changed. I was at the lake, and that morning at breakfast, I could hear the word dismiss. And I was like, what? And when I was studying this particular thing, it would be like, don't dismiss them. And I thought, well, I know what dismiss means. Dismiss is to let them go or let them leave. Don't, you know, that's what I thought in my mind. So I looked at the dictionary, and in my mind, it's like send away. Like if we dismiss the service, that means go on. Go on with your bad self. That's what was in my brain. But do you know what the dictionary said for dismiss, to dismiss a person? It means to treat someone as unworthy of serious consideration. Do you want anybody to do that to you? I don't think so. So, in my mind, in my spirit, the Lord just kept saying, don't dismiss people. We'll have people that come through that might not be, and it don't have to be somebody you run with. You don't have to run with people that you're not particularly fond of. But I am saying that God speaks to us to not dismiss people. There's people in here that I never speak to. I mean, I don't have to. I don't have to talk to Brent and Pat or Barbara and Roy every service and worry that they're going to be mad at me. But there are people in here that I need to speak to, that I need to go to, that I need to love more than maybe you. Maybe you, Doyle or Dolores. Sandra, maybe there's people in here that I don't have to run to. I don't have to run to Julie and say, oh, I love you, Julie. I hope you come back Sunday. No, but there's some people in here that need us, and they need you. If they're not here, do you know it? I've had several of you to say this to me. So-and-so's not been here in a couple weeks. You know where they're at? I said, no. You called them? Well, no. You got every one of you have a certain group around you, don't you? You'd know right fast. You'd know if Pat. Well, everybody knows Pat's not here, because you can hear her when she comes in laughing, and I love that about her. You can hear her. You can hear me. You know I'm here. But they know if Pat's not here. Back there where Chuck is and Wendy, I don't know where everybody is back there, but I grant you, y'all do. You know where people sit in here. And it's up to us as a church, as a body, to envelop them and to love them and say, hey, it won't take. And if you don't have their number, people do it all the time. Text me. I'll give you their number. If Sister Stringer's out several days, let's check on her. She's not here. Let's know where she is. Because that's what a body does. A church body. Now, and you think about it, we have a big crowd here, don't we? I mean, I don't even know everybody's name, and it's close. I'm pretty close to it, but I don't know everybody's name. But it don't take but a second to shake a hand and say, hey, it's so good to see you. I've been noticing you've been here. I used to say, hey, I'm Rhonda D. Hart. It's nice to meet you. I said, is this your first time? They said, no, I've been here 3 months. So I don't do that anymore. I just assume they've been here a while, and I try to be nice as I can. So, I mean, you know, you, That's where we are with as far as ministry. We can't reach everybody, but as a body, the Bible says to love deeply. Now, I love deeply. Now, I know I'm gruff and I'm rough. And you know, the Lord always speaks to me like that. He speaks to me that way. When I was whining about not nobody shaking my hand, He said, "How many hands did you shake?" I'd be like, "Okay, I'll fix that." But when you learn a lesson, don't have to keep repeating that. I'm having to repeat some of this because some of you've not learned the lesson I taught the last time. But anyway, I wanted to go on a little bit further with this because my lesson totally changed. You know, we have the church people that come in here, these singers need us praying for them through the week. They need us to love them. We have people that are that teach. We have people that come through these doors that are lost. Now, just because people come to church don't mean they're saved, right? We got a lot of people, you know, that I've told people before, I said, "Listen, if you're in a restaurant and you're rude and you're ugly," I said, "please don't tell them where you go to church. Tell them you go down to," or you say Collinsville Church of God. That was ugly. But I said, "Tell them you go down there to church. Don't tell them you come here." But we need to be mindful of the things we say to one another. Y'all not agree? All right. What if where you worked, would they know you're a Christian if they really didn't know anything about you? How long would it take them to figure out you're a Christian? You think about it. You think about that a little bit. Sometimes the life you live in front of them, you don't have to say, "I'm a Christian. I have my Bible under my arm." You don't have to say that. But you have to live a life that is pleasing before God. Your language, your demeanor, how you act. Sometimes the people that see you is more important than the words that they say. Because we might be the only Bible they read. And a lot of times that's the truth. But if you've never been to an unfriendly church, trust me, I think I had to go through that to be like I am now. Every lesson you learn in life, learn from it and don't keep repeating the same bad behavior. I won't never finish all this, and I may finish it next week, and I shouldn't have told you because you probably won't come back. But I want to tell you this, what I do with my kids, the kids choir. And I know this may sound silly to y'all, but our kids choir, we have about 40, 50 kids. Yeah. Yeah, and it's something else. That's all I can say about it. But sometimes I get those kids and I'll say, I don't call their name. I point at one of them. And I try to do this like to a child that's not been there a lot. I'll say, "Come up here with me." And I face them and I'll say, "Do you know their name?" And sometimes the kids know it. But a lot of times I'll say, "Mm-mm." And I'll look at the kid and it helps me to know their names too. I say, "What's your name, sweetie?" And they'll tell me, and I tell the kids, but I've taught them to say, when we do this, I say, "What do you say to them now?" And they'll say, "My name is," say if it's Riker, Riker would say, "My name's Riker, and it's nice to have you at church." I thought we ought to practice that here. You know, call one of you up and say, "What's his name?" You'll be like, "Hello." But you know what? People want you to remember their names. They like for you to remember their names. But try in your little group, wherever you're sitting, try to know everybody's name. Try to know when they're not there. Try to use wisdom and have the Spirit of God to know when somebody's down. If you look at somebody most of the time, can you tell if they're low? I went to funeral home the other day and this man came out and he was helping me take food in, you know, and I just looked at him and I knew he was sick. I didn't say that to him, but he looked so tired and exhausted. And I said, "Are you getting enough rest, buddy?" And he looked at me funny and he said, "Do I look bad?" I said, "No, you just look tired." He said, "I'm exhausted." You know, And sometimes, and I told him, I said, well, sometimes you just have to slow down a little bit. Of course, I'm good to talk about that. And, but even, not even at church, at work, be a Christian enough that people want to come where you are. You know, that they want to be here. But too much is who is given. And you think about the people that we have here. We have got the most talent, the most wonderful preachers. We have wonderful singers. We have great teachers. It says to much, whose much has been given, much is required. There's much that God requires out of us as Christians to do. And if we fail to do that, and it's just like this. There's people in your family that you never would think would come to church. How many would say, oh, I got people. Some of you, be honest, you think, they ain't no way. Well, Don Tilley is a perfect example. Y'all know Don Tilley, my uncle? You know the reason that Don Tilley got saved is because Terry DeHart got saved. Terry was the shyest human that ever lived. The shyest human that ever lived. And my daddy won him to the Lord by continuously, he would just say, love to have you at church, or, you know, he was constantly just, and he didn't badger him. But he lived a life before him that Terry knew something was different. And when one night we took the Shannon to Mother and Daddy, because we was going to a ball game, and Daddy looked at us before we left, and he said, Terry, he said, we're having a prayer meeting at the church tonight if you want to come. Well, I didn't think nothing about that. No more nothing about it. After the ball game, we go pick up Shannon. But we have to drive by that church going to my house, to our house in Ider. We drive by that church. I didn't think no more about it. We get home. Terry had been drinking that day. Terry gets Shannon, and he lays her in the bed. She's just little at the time. And when he started out the door, I said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to get you a new husband. And that's exactly what he did. I got me a new husband. And it's for one reason. My daddy was an influence on his life. We all have an influence. When Terry looked at me soon after and said, what would you think if I told you God called me to preach? Well, I about got whiplash because I threw my head over real quick and I said, and I thought, if you can preach, God's bigger than I ever thought he was. That's the truth. Because Terry couldn't look at you. He couldn't look you in the face and talk to you. He couldn't even go in a restaurant and eat. I thought, oh, dear God in heaven. Well, do you realize when he got up to preach, the walls were lined? You know why? They thought the same thing I did. If that boy can preach, God's a bigger God than I thought. And that's the truth, y'all. But you know what was even more shocking? He was going to be a pastor. And you know more shocking than that? I was going to be a pastor's wife. Now that's funny. And Gary can testify to that. I aggravate Gary at the campground all the time. I aggravate him flat to death. But you think about it. You think about it. Who are you influencing in your life? You know, Pastor used to tell me when we first got married, I'd go to church because I played for a choir, even as a kid. I sung in a group and we traveled places, and I played piano for a choir. And I'd stay home with him sometimes. We're just 17, 18 years old, you know. And so I thought, God has a funny sense of humor. He thought, well, if she's going to quit going, I'll just make him a preacher, and she has to go. So that's exactly what he did. But, you know, and I'm going to bring up this one, tell you this other one. Is it time? How long have I got? Jeff Buckles is another. He's another example. For years, probably, I've known Jeff since he was 15, and that was Teresa Buckles' boyfriend at the time, Hughes, then. And so Jeff, every time I saw Jeff, I'd say, I'd like to see you at church, and that's all I'd say. I'd done that for years, 3 years probably. And one day I was at Cheryl's. I pulled in right quick and probably dropping off Natalie at the time. And when I was backing out, Jeff was coming in, but I didn't stop. I had to hurry. And I didn't say anything to him. And he hollered. He yelled at me, y'all. He said, hey! And I stopped. I thought I was running over something. He said, I want to invite you in church Sunday. Like that. And I thought, oh, wow. He did want me to say that to him. So never think that, like with Don getting saved, my uncle, that you have no idea what a curse every breath. Nobody could stand him. Nobody could stand him. And when he got saved, y'all, it was just like, oh, God's bigger than even when Terry got saved. I mean, that's what you're thinking. And you're so, never dismiss people in your life. Never dismiss people. You be careful. And that's what God kept showing me. I was at the lake and it would be like, don't dismiss people. Don't let them leave. Make sure that we are in contact with the ones in your group. You've got groups everywhere you're sitting that you know where people sit. So let's don't dismiss one another. Let me tell you this funny thing about before I have to leave. He ain't rung a bell yet. With Don sit up on this front row, and he loved the Word. That man blew my mind about the Word. But one day he kind of popped off at Terry, just cutting up like I do sometimes. And Terry said, ushers, come down here and take this man out. And Terry was kidding, of course, jokingly. Well, Chuck Holbrook and Carrie Munro, was it Carrie? I think Carrie. They came down here. He Don didn't weigh a whole lot. They picked him up and literally walked down this aisle with him and him hollering, he's going to sue us. And somebody said, throw him in the dumpster. But do you realize to this day, Don's still in church. He had seizures bad, but he teaches a Sunday school class at a little Baptist church. And don't ever dismiss somebody and think they can't be saved because they can. And I'm done for right now. So, you are dismissed!